The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
This is the Secular Brothers Podcast. We want truth, no more lies, no more lies. We speak how we feel, no more compromise. Take away our freedom, huh? Now, this is America, land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me. Land of the brave and a home of the free, and a country full of people feel just like me.
Hey, welcome to the Secular Brothers Podcast. Not from an airport.
No, in not studio. We've also been doing the regular secular shows, me and you, so.
You probably see this.
Yeah, we've been around. It's the Secular Brothers, that's Jordan. I'm Logan Secular, here in Nashville, Tennessee. And we're going to talk still a little bit about what's going on, but also we're going to move on to some other topics today. Try to give you guys a little bit of a break, because there are other things happening in the news.
Yes, other than just what happened in Nashville.
Yeah, what happened in Nashville, sort of the grieving process. You know, I went to an event last night. That was sort of a worship service / songwriters night. A lot of people did that. I feel like that was a good way for a lot of the community to come together.
School's back.
Things are, like I said before, we are a very resilient state. We've been through a lot of craziness, whether that's major storms that have come through, floods. Now, these kind of attacks, not something we expected or ever thought would happen here. But it's a city that bounces back very quickly. So. Yep. But there's other things going on. You got something going on with ACLJ action. Maybe we should.
Yeah, that's right. There's legislation in the House. Again, this is all just, I think it's really important that we're speaking out now while we can get legislation at least moved to the House of Representatives, which forces the Senate to have to vote. Which, what does that mean? It makes Democrats have to get on the record about where they are. And this is legislation, again, when it comes to American energy. So to actually support the increase of domestic energy production, to reverse the anti-energy policies of the Biden administration. The legislation would do that. Take us back to basically what was happening under the Trump administration so that we go back to being a net exporter of energy instead of an importer of energy to bring the cost. Not only does that bring
the cost. Yeah, the costs went up.
It also it doesn't just bring the cost down, but it also makes America stronger.
So you don't have, you have leverage, actually, then.
Yeah. So you increase domestic energy production. This is what the legislation does. Reverses the Biden administration's policies. And as we just talked about. So this legislation, we're supporting an ACLJ action. We want you to we have that cool tool that we set up through ACLJAction.org. You can be a member of ACLJ Action. That's an official membership because it's a C4 organization, yeah. And it's $25 a year. Yeah. But you don't have to be a member to sign a letter campaign. So we have this tool. You put in your information. It pulls up who your congressperson is. We have the letter pre-written for you, but you can edit it.
Yeah, so if you have something specific.
You can add to it. You can edit it. You can delete all of it and write your own letter. So you can take 20 seconds to do this, or you can take as much time as you want. But we are doing these very – and it's specific. And we know it will be delivered to your member of Congress specifically. And so whether it's a Republican or Democrat, you want their offices to know that you support it. It's called H.R. 1, the Lower Energy Cost Act. It's very basic what it does. Obviously, we just walked through. It takes us back to where we were – a few years ago where we were, again, promoting energy and the use of American energy and opening up new sources.
It's become a huge conversation over the last few years.
So that we become a net exporter again, which lowers the prices for Americans, increases our power internationally, and gives us some leverage.
Yeah, and thousands of you have already done it, and you can do that at ACLJ Action.
Yep.
Go take a look there, and you can find it.
Vote should be tomorrow.
And that's what I like about ACLJ Action. It's stuff that is... It's not like theoretical. This is something that's going on tomorrow.
People, I'd say, but this is never going to be signed by Joe Biden or the Democrats. The idea here is we're leading into a presidential election, and there'll be the Senate will be up for grabs, and the House is always up for grabs. Yeah. You want to make them have to vote on things they don't want to vote on. They didn't have to do that when they controlled the House and the Senate.
There may be Democrats who are going to be potentially running for president. You never know, and you kind of want to get them on the record too, because we don't know what 6 months from now looks
like. Yeah, we could tell people tomorrow in studio.
Oh, yeah. Former Democratic presidential. She's kind of,
We could either just say we're going to have a former Democrat presidential candidate.
Yeah, and I think you'll probably figure it out. Who's the only one who
would want to come down
who would talk to us? Can't hear you. Sorry, producer.
Is it Hillary Clinton?
It's not. I will say this definitively. It is not Hillary Clinton. I don't know if I've ever been in the same room as Hillary Clinton.
One time I was.
One time? I feel like I went to a Broadway show and she... I feel like I was at a Broadway show and she was there. But I don't remember other than that.
Like, yeah, one time I was also at a Broadway show and so what's the he's very good like Gosling was
he's
there.
Very good like Ryan Gosling.
Yeah,
I've been to a Broadway. I
went
to see Hamilton and Steven Spielberg was there.
Also, Jay Lynch was in front. It was Jay Lynch and Ryan Gosling there, not together sitting. It was Book of Mormon. Main cast Book of Mormon.
Yeah, so I love weeks. This is the most pretentious we've ever had. We sat next.
But it was a South Park play.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so it's not that pretentious.
I went to see Woody Allen's musical, and which is already controversial just saying that out loud. And Graham Norton, the British talk show, he sat next to us. Very nice. Took a picture of my wife. My wife was like, who is this? I'm like, just do it. And then she saw us kind of loves him now, or loved him then. I'm not really sure now what he's up to these days. But that's when he kind of was trying to have his American moment.
Oh, his name?
What's his name?
Piers Morgan moment.
Yeah, and be like the next, kind of James Corden took that spot. Who's leaving now too?
Yeah, he's no good.
I don't mind him. That format to me is just dead.
It's boring.
It's just dated, and the late night talk used to be where you would go for to hear a celebrity talk, to hear them say anything interesting. Yeah, you ever saw them? Now, they're everywhere, and if you want to hear them, you can probably hear them speak for hours on end.
On their Instagram.
And page. It not be a 6-minute fake story that their publicist created. It just, you know, not that they're not and talented.
Music is horrible.
New music, I mean, there's some new
there's
music.
There's music.
Great. There's some. There's music coming back right now.
Main Skin or whatever.
Yeah, and I saw Inhaler a couple weeks ago. They were great. There's other young bands happening. Music is starting to. Look, I went last night to that event, and actually, that was a conversation my wife and I had. It was a Christian songwriting event. I would say I have not been someone who's actively listened to Christian music in 20 years.
Is that my
15
favorite.
Years. There was a time where I did, and then
not
sort of.
It. Just I'm no, not a pre. That's not what I put on the car.
No, and we've tried to do that with the kids and have more interest, but there really hasn't been anything interesting in a very long time. There was Mac Powell Third Day, who's like a legend, who's been doing this now since we were, you know, teenagers, since mid-90s. And then you had three other songwriters, and they were all very good and mostly very young. And there was that conversation of like, maybe there's a moment happening. Maybe kind of music is having that turn. Christian music specifically could be having some sort of resurgence because it was interesting to see. It was an audience full of mostly fans who were aware of some of these newer, younger artists. Some were worship leaders, some were, which you can't use that term. You hear that whole controversy?
No.
So someone owns the term worship leader. It's a registered trademark.
How did the government allow
and
that to be trademark?
They are enforcing it and going around and saying, churches, you cannot call yourself worship leader. You worship leader, I think maybe it's Worship Leader Magazine is who owns the term worship leader, or they sued Worship Leader Magazine.
I don't know how that's going to survive in court.
It's interesting to enforce it. Well, you saw that happen. You know, Adidas is suing BLM. That came out last night because – and, of course, they're doing it now a few years later because they said that the three stripes is – that's Adidas.
What does BLM use three stripe?
They have a three-stripe logo, and they also – in the fist, it looks kind of like the stair step of the Adidas logo, like the three-stripe Adidas. It's a very interesting debate.
They also use the vertical three stripes in a lot of their imagery too, which would look like kind of the tracksuit stripes and things like that.
If I'm Adidas, I don't know why this is something you try to push. It just feels like this. You just got through the Kanye thing.
And now you're going to sue Black Lives Matter?
I love Adidas. I love them corporately. I don't know anything about them corporately. But I do love their shoes.
Bunch of Germans.
I love their shoes. I love their tracksuits. I wear a lot of them.
I love Adidas.
When I live my Oasis dream, that's what I wear. But that conversation, that just happened last night. And I think that's a pretty interesting thing to see. You know what it is more interesting is the fact that they would do it. That the PR department.
At this point, they're just.
But the PR department was like, yeah, this is a safe time. We can now try to stop. I don't know if they sued him or they filed.
Well, Black Lives Matter has been basically totally. The organization itself.
Been really ridiculed.
Well, no, I mean it's legally falling apart. They weren't reporting correctly. They were misusing funds. So a lot of liberals are mad at them too.
Yeah,
because they took their money and
oh, I'm wrong. 1 hour ago, Adidas withdraws their opposition.
It just changed, though.
I mean, that just happened. Last night, I was reading all these articles. Yep. So Adidas
They were trying to block the trademark office from granting a trademark to BLM.
They filed an opposition, which is what you do.
They filed for their official logo.
BLM did. Adidas said, you can't do this. We're the three stripes. And I'm guessing they had so much blowback. I mean, I get protecting your trademark.
When you're in the sneaker game, I wouldn't go after Black Lives Matter.
I just think that's probably a bad idea. They said they have ferociously protected the three stripe for years. They have people scanning it and making sure that no one used it, probably made it through, and someone didn't think this may not be a good PR move. I think it's interesting. And now it's sadly the story is over. But the worship leader one is still happening, right? That's still a thing. I didn't make that up.
No, I sent a link to it in the chat.
I saw the other one.
You could win that in court.
The worship leader?
Yeah, you'd be.
That it's become like a Kleenex kind of term, or Kleenex is trademarked, but like a, what do you call that? A generic term? Something like that, when a regular trademark becomes generic?
Essentially, Authentic Media, which runs the church resource called Worship Leader, which used to be a print magazine, but now it's available online, they are the ones that hold that trademark.
Yeah, and they are like aggressively pursuing people.
Correct.
First of all, how could that magazine even exist in this day and age?
I think this is how they're trying to drum up any sort of
money.
Yeah. Like there was a company called Worship Leader Problems, which was a podcast, I believe, that was specifically about.
The joke is.
No, it was like how to encourage and help worship leaders who are maybe going through stuff, and they made them change it. So now their logo has a Band-Aid over the L, because WLP over the L, because they're not allowed to say it. That's honestly how it came to be, how I ended up seeing it. Someone posted a explanation of their fight with this. Trademark law is kind of weird. It's a, I hold many trademarks myself. Now they don't even send you the certificate. They say, print this out. They go, this printable is suitable for framing. It's not. They used to send you with a seal. It's awesome. Mm-hmm. Get it, you hang it up on your wall. Like you're one of the people in Shark Tank. You're like, look
because
at all
really
my patents.
They almost mean nothing now.
What?
They're so beatable.
Trademarks?
If you really want to.
Yeah, there's not a huge reason to register unless you really want to protect it, or there's something
you find.
If you
got a swoosh, if you got your three stripes, that's, I mean.
Yeah, something that is identifiable.
Your BMW logo, your Mercedes logo.
I mean, still a lot of protection, though. You still get a lot of protection.
Yeah. It's just for, there was an over trademarking, and a lot of them started getting challenged.
Yeah, because they're sending it. You get to an agent who is handling it, and they're not doing their due diligence like they probably should be. But Bald Beagle became our children's channel, just became registered trademark with the federal government. It took years. It's real fun. Takes it's a long process.
Wow.
To go through it, because they do push you. They make sure that you're the originator, or that you can claim ownership to it. And they make you prove stuff.
You have to show examples of use, right?
Tons of examples and like categorically. It's a whole, like, I don't know how we got here. Oh, I went to that worship event.
Black Lives
Matter. And, well, that, I went to that songwriters Jesus. Thing, which was cool.
To worship leaders.
Well, I went from worship leaders where I started. And we made it there because it was the same trademark law, but we got there. But speaking of kind of moving on to another thing, I don't know if you heard this, the financial crisis is still happening. Ha ha. And 2022 was the stock market's worst year since 2008. Mm. But does it seem like this administration is addicted to spending and turning a blind eye on the ramifications? Yes, and definitely in the wrong places. And that's what we want to tell you about Birch Gold, because they are the foremost authority on precious metals. Check them out. That's right. They're going to have you help you convert, if you want to, your existing IRAs or 401ks into gold. And you can learn more very easily by texting BROS to 989898, and you're going to receive a free info kit on diversifying into gold. Best part, they're A-plus rated for the Better Bureau. Yeah, from the Triple B.
So check it out.
Easy.
That's all you got to do. Just text BROS. You're not committing to anything. Get more information. BROS, B-R-O-S, to 989898.
Yeah, do it right now. That's text BROS, B-R-O-S, to 989898. Do it today. Check out our friends at Birch Gold. Buy gold right now if you can.
I'll tell you what, this government, they ain't going to protect us. They're laughing about us getting killed.
They're going to spend a bunch of money on worthless things.
Well, I just saw another report. You know, this was we were talking to Senator Hagerty yesterday on a radio show. He's from Tennessee, and we're talking about the tragedy in Nashville, obviously. And he was saying he was about to have Merrick Garland before one of the committees he sits on in the Senate. He was going to talk to him about it. And they also asked Garland about the protesters in front of this is why I just said this government is not going to protect you. about the protesters court. In front of the Supreme Court Justice Holmes.
So during the
DOJ ordered U.S. Marshals not to arrest the people, even though they were violating a law that exists.
Just because it's
you cannot protest in front of a judge's home to change their opinion. You can just protest in front of people's homes, but you cannot protest because you want them to specifically make a decision on a case.
Is it what do you call that? Intimidation?
Yes. Yeah, same as jury intimidation.
Jury intimidation. Same idea.
You can't intimidate the court.
Yeah.
That's pretty threaten the court. And we now know that the U.S. Marshals ordered the local police not to make the arrest.
And that came out of what, a Senate hearing?
Merrick Garland admitted to it.
Yeah.
So when I say they're not going to protect
Katie
you.
Katie Britt was up on?
Yeah, Katie Britt and Hagerty
from Alabama.
When I say they're not going to protect you, we've seen it in Nashville how they are trying to spin it into it's our fault. It's the kids' fault and the parents' fault. It's not the shooter's fault.
Yeah, or it's your local government because this is what they've done. You know, it's not.
Yeah, it's a politician's
it's
fault.
It's a politics, political fault.
For passing legislation that people elect them to pass.
Yeah. Well, at least there's some good people holding accountable and finding out this information. I think people would like to hear that. Wild, the Supreme Court one. I think that's something that we should spend more time on our next broadcast because I'd like to dive more into that because that's just breaking also as we're talking right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is a lot of this is all, you know, that was overshadowed by what was happening where we live.
Yeah.
And so the news is kind of catching up as we're doing on this podcast right now on what else is happening.
And a lot of it has to do with life because we saw that too. We saw actually finally somebody who firebombed a conservative pro-life organization due to this again. Being held accountable.
Yeah, they got arrested.
So maybe there's something happening here.
Yeah, so. Maybe.
Maybe.
But the IRS is now raiding people's houses again. It's not a good look.
Yeah, I mean, Katie Britt put out a thing. This was last night, and you can go find it on her Twitter, which she's a senator from Alabama. And she put, not a single person has been prosecuted for illegally harassing Supreme Court justices outside their home. And the reason's crystal clear. The Department of Justice has willfully chosen not to enforce federal law, and I presented my evidence today, and then there's a clip, and you can see that. So there are people who got elected this time to the Senate.
Oh yeah, I'm talking about the federal government.
No, I'm saying who are doing good work, who are out there actually exposing this, and she looks like she's going to be one of them, and could be for decades.
Yeah, but then like you know, Matt Taibbi tries to testify. Yeah. He's literally brought in by Jim Jordan to testify on the Twitter stuff.
Yeah.
And while he's there, the IRS shows up at his house.
Yeah, Matt Taibbi, if you don't know.
They're so stupid.
I know. It's like so obvious. You know, Matt Taibbi, if you don't know, is a journalist. He's been a famous journalist now most of my life. I mean, I'd say not most of my life, my adult life, 20 plus years he's probably been an active journalist. And just what happened was he was from Rolling Stone magazine. He was one of my favorites at Rolling Stone. I was a subscriber for years. Politically, we were pretty opposed, I'd say. This wasn't a guy who was a super conservative. But he kind of refused to, at Rolling Stone, treat the Russiagate as anything more than a hoax.
Yeah.
And that alone pretty much cost him his career at Rolling Stone, a music magazine. And he was a guy doing – he did wartime stuff in that kind of journalism. He was sort of in that division. He wasn't doing, you know, a story on Patti Smith. Maybe he did. I don't know. But that really wasn't his role. But when it comes to this, he was also the guy – he became an independent journalist. Sorry, Substack. I've been a subscriber to his Substack for probably a year now, and I listen to his podcast.
I still don't understand what that is, but I know
you're just like the people out there. They say, we don't know what this Substack is, the senators. They're like, we think it's some sort of right-wing. All it is essentially a paid blog where you can also host your podcast. So I pay $5 a month. I get his private podcast.
What?
It is. Private podcast and his writings. And I like his content a lot. But I liked it pre-Twitter Files. It was actually a little bit more fun because it was less about him. Now, all of a sudden, you have a podcast called America This Week with Walter Kern, who wrote Up in the Air. If you've ever seen that movie, he wrote the book Up in the Air, along with a lot of other things. But he, all of a sudden, is the target now because he blew the doors down on the Twitter Files. He was who Twitter, essentially, one of three journalists that had access to all that content. Him, Schellenberger, and
Barry Weiss,
who didn't do the hearing. That's what I was thinking. Barry Weiss didn't do the hearing. But Schellenberger and him kind of were the faces of it that really showed the extreme ways that Twitter was being used. Some by conservatives, but mostly it was like, you know, 98% by Democrats and by liberals and by high up. And of course, we find out that day that he was going to testify, the IRS
showed up at his house
unannounced.
Unannounced. Then they try to say they were there to help him, but they don't show up unannounced to your house to help you.
No.
First of all, the IRS doesn't show up to your place of business or home ever to help you.
Yeah, I mean, it just feels like intimidation 101.
Yes.
Like, if you're going to deal with this, we're just going to
send the IRS
over. Send the IRS to you just as a check-in, just mm-hmm. as a reminder. I mean, it feels very mob. I mean,
that's who you're dealing with, the Bidens. Yeah. That's what they are. They're a Delaware mob family, basically.
Yeah.
Shakedown artist.
Yeah, it's pretty scary. I mean, that's no I mean, one wants
look
a
at them. The drug addicts, they're criminals.
No
kind
one
of
wants
acting.
A visit from the IRS.
They try to make Donald Trump and his family out to be that. That's really what the Bidens are. Just look at them. Look how they live. Wild lives. Crazy lives.
Definitely crazy lives. I mean, not
the brothers marrying the sister marrying the brother marrying the cousin and the this and the drugs and the gun pictures and the, I mean, Hunter, we don't talk about those pictures with his gun.
I don't think I've seen pictures.
You know, oh, yeah. He's had all those pictures where he's smoking crack and has a gun, handgun.
I definitely have seen some of
very
those.
Very Sopranos looking.
Yeah.
Not very presidential looking.
Well, I told you that. That kind of changed my mind on the whole situation, because I felt like we kind of downplayed the Biden, like Hunter Biden. He kind of became a Roger Clinton kind of character.
Right. No,
and
that's
then
not what they
I
are.
Started kind of doing my own reading of him and his life and these characters that are involved in life. Yes, clearly has his demons beyond most people, but was operating at a very, very high
still
level.
Is. He's selling his patents and for $500,000 to Chinese.
But negotiating wild deals.
Yeah.
Like, this guy was not an idiot.
No. That's
and I
why.
Feel like that's what I mean. We kind of paint him as this sort of goofball Biden, and that is not at all who this character is.
That's what I say. They're more like an organized crime family because they're not stupid. I mean, they're dangerous.
It's interesting. It's definitely a wild time right now.
Now his paintings are worth $500,000.
See, but this is like an NFT where this is just how he's getting
Chinese
money.
Chinese people buying influence into the Biden.
No, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. It's there. A lot of those things were, the values were never really
how
there.
How do you get money to Joe Biden legally?
Yeah. It's like there was a big collectibles thing where all of a sudden, like, they're like, an unopened copy of Super Mario Brothers is now worth $350,000. You're like, well, no, it's not. This is just a way to get $350,000 from this person to this person.
Right.
Because you're buying a sealed Super Mario Brothers, which, yeah, could fetch you $20,000 from a high-end collector. You know,
yeah, no, there's a lot of weird stuff.
There's a lot of weird stuff. A lot of that's been you know, kind of tampered down because it was becoming wild and the stories were coming out there. Like, have you ever seen those ads that are like, if you have this copy of The Little Mermaid in your VHS collection, you may have $100,000. It's like, no, man, these are just people laundering money, using some item to use eBay to process it or whatever it was.
Right.
So there's a lot of...
They always have to figure out how to get it to each other.
Yeah. And creating a collectible surge was hard on my life. And for some reason, though, because all these things all of a sudden were out
of
reach.
You didn't cash in. You could have cashed in.
I sold some things. I mean, I'm not for those reasons, but I bought and sold.
No. A lot of us bought during... It's not the person who owns it that's the problem. It's they start change.
Who knows if they even own it? You know, it's...
Right.
It has nothing to do with that.
They just put up a thing that looks like it was a transaction.
Right.
And remember, eBay, if you don't report that you never got it, they don't know.
Yeah, or if you just say, yeah, exactly. They could just say,
it's not their
all right,
fault.
I'm putting up this eBay listing. Make a purchase.
As long as you don't complain about it.
Right.
The money's been transferred.
Exactly. And that's kind of been a legal loophole for a lot of things online for a long time, which is this
and
sort of
crypto.
It's similar. You know, it's similar to crypto. Like I said, it's similar to the NFT situation. The reason a lot of these things go away quickly is because they're like being used by criminals. I'm like, that's about it. You know, like,
right.
There's no one really buying $1 million NFT. And that kind of all
Paul Brothers.
Yeah, but they also buy physical. He does have, now he has a legitimate like $8 million Pokemon card. That is probably, though, if he tried to sell it, it would probably be more like $2 million. But it's a legitimate, he's got a legitimate collection there.
So it's estimated at $8 million, but you couldn't really sell it for
that. I just don't know if there's a buyer.
Right.
But he wears it around his neck, you know.
Yeah, pretty cool chain.
Yeah, so he... that's a whole collection. We'll get that. That's not that. Our audience would not care if I told you how that technically got valued at that, because again, he did not pay that for it. He like took a risk, bought a card, broke it out of its collectible seal, sent it into an authentication company that then said this was a perfect one, and which cost him money. But when they said it was perfect, then the value, because it was like the only one in the world or one of two. So that's what I'm saying. The value, it's like, well, if he doesn't sell it, then it's not really. He'd probably take a loan out against it.
Yeah, and all that stuff like baseball cards, I think, goes up and down.
Yeah. You can start a prime energy drink.
They were dead, baseball cards, and now they're back.
They're back, but then there's also some of the was this all a scam?
Right.
So you take the loan out on the card, then default on the loan and let them just seize the card.
Seize the card. Card.
So they can have it.
Yeah. Take it.
Yeah, Pikachu.
That's how you sell it.
Pikachu and Ash, last episode aired today. Well, breaking his heart.
I am devastated.
Oh, 27 years of scamming. Pokemon goodness. My kids are still in. Still all in on the Pokemon.
How?
It's back. It's huge.
What do they do now? I thought the game, they don't use the phones yet, so.
No, it's the cards.
Oh, yeah.
Like my kids collect the cards. They have a Pokemon club at the school.
They know how to use them?
I don't think so. I think they just like to trade them. Yeah. They collect them.
They're not like Dungeons and Dragons.
No, I don't think they understand the game portion. They just like looking at like, look, this
not
is
about getting into that.
Dungeons and Dragons?
Just late in life.
You know, I don't know if that's good. I feel like if people like to say,
so I can get that group.
Oh, you want to be in the celebrity group of D&D players?
They're not guys you would think would be D&D players.
I mean, look, of all the things that ended up being real in our society, and like I put like maybe video games are on that edge of like maybe they cause people to have problems sometimes. I don't think they did, but I'm sure there's some. I feel like Dungeons and Dragons was the first one that they were like, this is going to destroy our youth. And what we found out, it's like most people that played that became like Fortune 500 company people. You know, they ended up becoming that. Yeah, if you actually play Dungeons and Dragons, you're like, this is what we were scared of. This is what that Christianity was like. You can't do this. There can't be a dragon and a troll.
And yeah, it wasn't nearly as satanic as I was pitched as a child.
No, it's like it's just sort of medieval.
There was an Adventures in Odyssey one that basically like laid out the entire evils of that type of game. They called it something different. It was horrifying.
I mean, there's dragons and stuff.
Okay.
But you know what? Now that's starting to show up in the church. I was watching
What do you mean?
They're using a lot more of this. Like I was watching Bobby Shuler, which is Robert Shuler's grandson. He's back on the Hour of Power. They rebooted it. Yeah, and I watched it this week. It was good. But in it, he had a bunch of Harry Potter references. And
as bad?
No. He makes his own butterbeer in his basement.
Oh, he's into it.
Yeah, yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Like, they're kind of embracing sort of the, yes, a lot of these were spiritual, like biblical allegories. And I mean, that's controversial alone to be a Harry Potter fan. So,
well, just because she's.
They hate her. They hate J.K. Rowling, who, unlike a lot of people, even though I think sometimes she's a little harsh, she doubles down every time. She's like, I'm a billionaire. Yeah. What are you going to do? Like every time that I'm like, maybe she's gone to the point. Yeah. I'm like, I don't like this.
Book
shit,
is
I don't.
A theme park. You can see what you want.
Yeah, you wonder kind of now like what they do because that you know that like there's people within Universal who are like,
we
can't get rid of it. It's $1 billion. I mean, we spent probably multiple $1 billion building this thing,
and people
love it. But it's like almost because when the Dr. Seuss thing happened, they started closing Dr. Seuss attractions. They're like, we can't have this. We ran a zoo. Section.
Yeah.
But I feel like the Harry Potter one, they're like, we've invested way too much into this. But yeah, I don't know how, again, Bobby Shuler, allegories, Dungeons and Dragons, worked our way around. All right.
Card games.
Card games took us there, yeah. I know you said you wanted to get into it.
If
you want to get into Dungeons and Dragons, I probably can find you a Dungeon Master.
Oh, God. Now I don't know if I like that.
I lost you a Dungeon Master?
Yeah. I barely have time to go play golf.
And these games last unlimited amount of time. They're 5, 6 hours, 8 hours long. Because there's no definable ending.
Yeah, never mind.
The Dungeon Master controls the story. I've never even played. I've just watched people play.
I don't know if I have time to learn the rules.
One of my friends, my brother-in-law, he played. And he said there was a guy who just would Zoom, like would Skype in at the time or FaceTime in. Was not a part of their
just to watch?
Crew. He just was a guy who would ask, can I watch your games?
Okay.
And he would just sit on the screen and just watch them play. And I'm like,
did he make them take their shoes off?
That's what it feels like.
Okay. That's just freaky.
I know. That kind of is
early OnlyFans.
That's where I was like, you know what? I don't think this is for me.
You know what? If you're going to, what I'm saying is, if you're going to allow those people in, charge them something. At least make some money off of it. Because they're doing it for some weird reason.
Well, I don't know if they were. I don't know.
Well, okay, it's Dungeons and Dragons. So right off the top, it's...
it's already there.
Yeah, and the second is you just want to watch a bunch of dudes playing it.
Yeah. Huh? Yeah, dudes in Alabama, just nerdy dudes. Future PhDs.
You don't
want to
be that person. You want to just...
Yeah, you don't want to engage in the conversation.
Mm-hmm. At least charge them like a Matt Taibbi fee. Substack it.
Yeah, give them a $5 Substack.
Yeah. So yeah, you can watch our game.
I am a little concerned that they go after Taibbi because it's like, it's not like I was like promoting his content way before the Twitter files. And now I feel like I'm on some weird list.
You are.
I know.
I think you already are.
I know. But now I'm on some like.
You wish you weren't, but you are.
Well, I don't know if I was on that list. I don't know if I was on the independent journalists that we think are the enemies of the state.
Like with Tulsi and Tamar, you're on a list.
Well, I mean, I like her though. I got no problem with Tulsi.
No. You. I mean, I'm proud to be on these lists.
I liked all these people. I think before a lot of people did. I think I was out there going, hey, there's some interesting stuff happening here.
Yeah.
There's interesting conversation. I was watching Bill Maher before all you conservatives. I don't know if you can say
he really helps CNN.
Yeah. I went there live. I saw Bill Maher live.
How much did they pay him for that 8 minutes a week?
I don't know. That's part of his HBO deal. He's coming to CNN primetime. Charles Barkley and Gayle King are going to start doing it. Is it Gayle King? I could be wrong. Is that right?
Every night?
No. It's primetime is going to be different. Nightly is what the plan is. So Friday night you'll have Bill Maher. Then one night you'll have Barkley.
You mean for 10 minutes?
I don't think so. I think they're going to have a show.
Okay.
Which, I mean, Charles Barkley is a...
I like him.
He's a fun host. I don't know about him talking about, is it going to be... That just feels like a morning show. That doesn't feel like a news show.
Also, you could see him so many other places.
Well, he's on the Turner family of...
Yeah.
That's the thing. I think he's on TNT doing NBA or whatever.
He's hilarious.
Oh, he's great. And uncancelable. Guy who can say anything, can do anything. Sometimes to the point where you're like, geez, Charles, Sir Charles. But I like him.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right. Should we wrap up?
Well,
yeah. What should we call this show?
We tried to not focus on the horrible thing that happened in our city.
And we did, only for a few minutes. And you know what? I feel like I feel a bit refreshed.
It was nice to smile.
Well, that took me back down. Thank you. All right. Well, we'll be back on Secular Brothers tomorrow.
Yeah, we got Tulsi in studio.
With Tulsi Gabbard. We teased it before, and now we're just going to say it. She's going to be in studio. So that's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to talk to Tulsi about surfing. Other things. People seemed to like when Spicer was on. So what's like, he talked about the debates.
Oh, yeah. I don't think anybody's ever asked about it.
Yeah. And we can ask her about the debates because she was in the... Mainstay.
She was in the debates where they were giving out the questions to Hillary Clinton.
Right. Yeah. So let's talk. We'll talk
go
about
after her just because she didn't want to kill babies in third term.
Yeah. All right. We'll keep talking about that and more tomorrow on Secular Brothers Podcast. See you then.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.